Ephesians 2, verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is that? Chapter 1, verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now you might say, man, you jumped around there a lot. I have no idea how you got verse 21 and chapter 1 and verse 6 and chapter 2 together. Well, go home, just read through there and see if I added anything to that. I've been studying that for years, and that's exactly what he's saying. Exactly what he's saying. He's raised us together with Jesus and seated us with Jesus far above these forces of darkness. Now notice that, verse 6, and hath raised us up together. Together with who? Together with him. Together with him. And with him, he was raised, according to verse 19, 20, 21, the power raised Jesus to the right hand of God far above all these forces of darkness. That's what it means when it says raised us together with him, far above, to sit with Jesus far above all these forces of darkness. So that's what he's saying. Now, this seat is mentioned in the Weymouth translation. It says he's raised us with him from the dead and enthroned us with him in the heavenly realm as being in Christ Jesus. So this just isn't a lazy boy. This is a throne. You know as well as I do, the typology here is the old time kings who had a throne, and a throne room and a throne. They had a throne they sat on. But there was always a throne on their right hand. A seat on their right hand. And anyone who sat there was delegated authority. That's what the typology is here, and that's what Paul is referring to. This actually happened where Jesus went up to the right hand of the Father, the Bible said, and sat down. And but most Christians will maybe accept that and understand that to a degree. But them with him, that's beyond anything that they've ever thought. You know, I can't control the circumstances of life. I don't have any authority. I have to pray Jesus to do something. Well, how many of you know, according to the scriptures, this is something that he did for us. You understand? This, that we are joint heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, I know you might say, I know all this, but I want you, but one of the things that Brother Hagin did for me is he went over things and over things and over things and over things. And eventually, I would say, I got it. I got it. Until he went over again, then I went, oh, I got it. Now I got it. And then he would go over it again, and I'd say, well, I thought I had that, but man, oh Lord, oh, I see it, I got it. You know, until we're walking like we're in authority, we don't have it yet. It's just a doctrine. What if whenever the president is sworn in this next time, wait, what if you were there with him being sworn in with him? That's what happened whenever Jesus was raised and seated and given authority. We got it with him. We got it with him. In fact, somebody said, well, why did he go through all that to get that? He didn't need it. He was fine before he came to the earth and laid all that aside. He was fine. But he was down here identifying with us in our condition so that whenever he redeemed us, he was our representative and our he was our substitute in every and becoming what we weren't so that he could make us what he became. Oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God. We were sinners. He became sin. He didn't sin, but he was made. The Bible said he was made to be sin. so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Ooh, you understand this, you're no longer afraid of the boogeyman. And things that go bump in the night, you know what I mean? And things that make you spooky. And listen, around me, I'm not, when the devil gets around me, I'm not the one spooky. He's the one spooky. Just whenever I say, hallelujah, he's spooky in case I say in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There was somebody recently that, a well-known minister, I guess he was well-known, I didn't know much about him, that went on and I just heard about it and I was looking at some things. And over the last year or so, I had heard a little bit about him and tried to watch a few things, and I never quite understood what he was saying. And a few things, I mean, you know, about Jesus being Lord and all that, I understand that. But for the life of me, and the other night I was listening to, I just sat down and I said, because he's all over. I mean, you watch one video, you know, all these other ones come up. And I had a whole stream of videos. I mean, these are thousands and thousands, 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 thousands of people watching him. And I'm like, well, I didn't know it. I never knew much about him, and I had watched a couple times, and I never really quite got what he. I mean, telling stories, and so I'm not trying to be mean, but the other night I tried to watch 20 minutes of it, and I could not, for the life of me, get much out of it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. And then in one of these videos, this man said something that I'm not trying to be just critical of other preachers. I'm just dealing with issues here. He made the statement that to pray for healing and to make a claim of healing is tempting God. You're trying to tell God what to do. I mean, the things that were coming out of his mouth, I'm like, I can't even listen to this anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Almost zero revelation. Very heady. Very heady. Very heady. Intellectual. And yet, stadiums of, looked like tens of thousands. I'm thinking, is that where the church is today? That they like those stories and hear traditions of men? Are you with me? Don't get mad at me. No revelation of redemption that I could tell. Maybe there's a lot of videos maybe I don't know about, you know. You understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Well, see, that went over real good. But there's no revelation of the authority that we have. No revelation of the substitution of Christ. Maybe for our sin, maybe has a revelation of that. But as far as anything beyond that, I mean, we can't pray for healing. We can't. And he was making fun of people who pray for needs to be met, telling funny stories about it. I'm thinking, I can't hack this anymore. Just can't hack it. I'm turning it off and going to bed. Amen. And we wonder why we preach this message and hear it over and over again. And we wonder why pastor keeps saying it. Because very few people have yet to understand it. We've got to get this message out. Are you there? So this verse says, we have been enthroned with him. Say enthroned. We're made a joint heir. Remember, we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. Say joint heir.
Joint heir.
Well, if we're seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and we don't have right to exercise that authority, what does this mean?
Yeah.
You understand? What does this mean? What does it mean? We're there. Why would he sit us there if that means we'd have no authority? Huh? There's something we need to understand here, all right? So let's understand it. So we're, Romans 8:17, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs of God Say heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means several things. All that he got, we got. But he got this seat. He got to sit down at the right hand of the Father. He prayed in John 17. I don't have the verse in front of me. I guess I could look it up. It's up here somewhere. But he prayed in John 17 right before he went to the cross. He said, Lord, restore unto me the glory which I had with thee before the world began. John 17, 20, 20. Restore unto me the glory that I had with thee before the world began. He's talking about being restored to the place he had before he was incarnate. He came into the incarnate condition of humanity and took on, you know, humanity. He said, restore me to what I had before. He said, the glory that, to restore me to the glory. Let's go over there. Go over there. John 17. I'm trying to get past it. I'm just not getting past it. Hallelujah. He said in verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they also may be one. That's the wrong verse. There's a verse right in there somewhere that says, the glory which I had. Anybody, see it? There's a verse right in there somewhere. The glory which I had with thee, restore unto me. Is it verse 20 what? 24. Yeah. 25. Somebody's trying to find it. Oh, verse 5. Verse 5. Glorify thy me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's talking about getting back to what he had. Isn't that right? And where is he now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So he's talking about getting that back. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, he's talking about the glory. Well, you got to understand, the glory is much more than just a cloud. How many of you know it's more than just a cloud? The glory of God. Actually, you remember, for example, Jesus, whenever he stood before Lazarus' tomb, they said, you know, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And he said, didn't I say that if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God? You'd see the glory of God? Well, what was the glory of God? The glory of God, somebody said, was raising Lazarus from the dead. Well, yes, but the glory of God was a man. Jesus was God and man. So don't misunderstand me. He was God all at the same time. But he's not operating. This is what a lot of Christians don't realize. He wasn't operating on earth as God in the flesh. Somebody said, I'm out of here. You said God. He wasn't God in the flesh. I didn't say he wasn't God in the flesh. I said that's not how he was operating. Why else would he say, I can of my own self do nothing? He's God in the flesh. Can't God do anything? Huh? Why would he say, John 12, where he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. If he was doing it as the Son of God. Now, I didn't say he wasn't the Son of God. I said that's not why he was doing what he was doing. If that's the case, why didn't he do anything for 30 years until the Holy Ghost came on him? Whenever he was 30 years old, the baptism of John in Jordan's River, the Holy Ghost came on him, and then he went into that wedding and turned that into wine. The Bible said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus of Nazareth. Why was that the first miracle? Why didn't he do it before that? Wasn't he God when he was born? Wasn't he born didn't Mary conceive by the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. He was God the day he was born, the day he was conceived. 1 year old, 2 year old, up to 29 year old, 29 and a half, 29 and three quarter, 29 and 364 days. When the Holy Ghost came on him, then he started doing miracles. Isn't that right? See, there's a lot of things people are fuzzy about in their mind regarding Jesus walking this earth. Let me just say this. Jesus was God's sample son. Well, he was doing all that because he's the Son of God. Well, and who are you? Yeah. Well, we got to think about something. The church has to think a little bit deeper. Get a little bit deeper. Tell your neighbor, we're going to get a little bit deeper here. Now, he wasn't doing what he was doing as the Son of God. I didn't say he wasn't the Son of God. I said that's not why he was doing it. Are you still with me? When Jesus said in Mark 11 to the fig tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And the disciples, 24 hours later, called to his attention, "Look, the fig tree you curse is withered away." Notice what Jesus did not say. He said, "Boys," he said, "I'm the Son of God. I can do that. You mere mortals, don't you ever think you could do that because you're just a man. I'm God and man." Which he was. He was God and man. But that's not what he... My point is, that's not what he said. They said, "Behold, the fig tree you curse is withered away." And Jesus, in Mark, the very next verse, Mark 11:22, "Have faith in God." He's telling them to have faith. Then he said, "Whosoever shall say..." Whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You might not feel like much, but you're a whosoever. Any whosoever's in here?
Yes.
"Whosoever shall say..." Whosoever! To say to that debt, "Be thou removed, get out of my life." Well, I can't do that, Pastor. Well, somebody's lying here. Either Jesus is lying or you're lying. Somebody doesn't know what they're talking about. You want to just call Jesus somebody that doesn't know what he's talking about? Let's just set him aside, tear that page out of the Bible. You know, you start tearing pages out of the Bible, eventually your Bible's going to be pageless. And let me say this, your faith is going to be toothless. I wasn't the one. Somebody said, "Well, you believe in that? You believe in that? You believe what you know, that faith message?" I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. "Whosoever shall say..." Do you still believe this? This is still just as good news to me as it was the day I heard it 35, whatever it was, years ago. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain..." Anybody got anything in your life that's sort of blocking your way? It's time to start your mountain to start hearing from you. "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I run into people that still don't believe it, but I don't change what I believe because other people don't believe it. I only believe what the Bible tells me to believe. "Well, I got a right to believe what I believe. You got a right to believe what you believe." No, we all have a right to believe the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I haven't been able to make that work in an area of my life. That doesn't mean it won't work. That doesn't mean it's not working. Just because you don't see it yet. You got to stand, and having done all to stand, stand. And yeah, just say, "Lord, if there's something I'm missing, I'm open to what you need to show me. But I'm standing on what I've learned. I'm standing on what I've known." So he didn't say, "I'm Jesus, I can do that." He said, "Whosoever." What's he telling us by saying "whosoever"? He's saying that he wasn't exercising that, what he did to the tree, he wasn't doing that as God. Now, I got to say it every time because people can hear that and they go, "Look, I didn't say he wasn't God. I said that's not the powers out of which he's doing it. He's doing it as a man under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, under the authority of his Father at the right hand of God. I mean, his Father in heaven, I should say. Amen. Amen. And so we know that he was God, but he was saying that he wasn't operating that way. Actually, there's verses that prove that he had laid aside some of the attributes of deity. Somebody said, no. Well, okay, see, people hear things and they go religiously tilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you just got to think about it. Just think about it. There's times where Jesus didn't know certain things in his earth walk. Let me just give you one. They whenever he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, "Where have you laid him?" Wait, you're God. You know everything. He didn't know where they laid him. Huh? He laid aside the all-knowing attribute of God. He laid aside the omnipresent attribute of God. He's only present in one place at one time. Amen. And I would say, I won't even say that one. I'd take too much time to lay a foundation. But he was saying, by saying, whosoever shall say, he was saying that he was exercising the authority of God's throne as a man. You realize that? If that wasn't what he was saying, why would he say things like, the works that I do, you'll do also? Amen. Most Christians don't believe what I just said. But it wasn't me that said it. It was Jesus that said it. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus brought many sons to glory. The glory that I had with you, verse 5, restore unto me the glory that I had with you. Huh? Then verse 22, the glory which thou gave, this is John 17, the glory which thou gavest me. Now, when you see the word glory here, don't just think of the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the cloud. That's part of it. But whenever he said, restore unto me the glory which I had before the world began, he's talking about the seat that he went back up to sit on. And he's talking about the exalted position. The exalted, listen to those words, exalted position. He said, glorify thou me into this exalted position. And he said, I want them to know, verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they also might be one in us. And so he's talking about returning back to this seat. And he went back there taking us with him. Are you out there? He brought many sons to glory. Hebrews 2:10. I said he brought many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus walked down here, he's just being an example as how all of God's children are to walk. When he rebuked the storm, when he spoke to the fever. Amen. When he spoke to the wind and the waves and so forth and so on. Praise the Lord. We're heirs of God and joint heirs. Hallelujah. So what he's saying is, he's bringing us into all of us into where he was. I mean, there's a lot more we could get into, but someone said, we're to walk as he walked. Yes, but the Bible even goes further than that. The Bible didn't say, as he was, so are we in this world. It said, as he is. Huh? I mean, we ought to just start as he was. We're not even walking in all that yet. I'm not saying I'm not saying we're God. I don't mean that, but I mean operating down here in this life. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Oh, come on. There's a lot. I don't think we've even skimmed the surface of the authority of the believer. Now, so really, we're heirs together. Say heirs together. We're joint heirs with the authority of God's throne. That's what we're saying. We're co-laborers together with God in the authority of his throne. So by Jesus seating us with him at the right hand of authority, he delegated to us the authority that he won in his resurrection. And the very act of doing so makes us joint heirs of his own authority, giving us the right to exercise that authority of God's throne in Jesus' absence here on the earth. Hallelujah. Why else would he sit us there? That's why. Because he's seating us in that authority. That means if you're sitting in a king's position, then you can operate like a king. And that's what Romans 5:17 says. They that have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they reign in life. Most other translations say as a king, by one Christ Jesus. They reign. How does a king reign? By decrees. Hallelujah. Now, being under Satan's dominion before we were born again, and then sometimes people come out of that and they get born again all right, but they come out over into religious teachings. You know, the ideas of men. And they're only mindful of their humanity. They're not mindful of the new position in Christ. And religious teachings will keep you there. And it'll keep you weak and keep you mindful of who you are and your own ability, which is weak and, you know, all of us, you know. And so, but the gospel has a totally different sound to it. That's what I'm saying whenever I was talking about a minister that I'm listening to, and I'm hearing something that it just sounds totally, I don't know what sound that is. But I'm used to the sound of victory and fullness and authority and dominion because of the revelation of the Word of God. You understand what I'm talking about? And so, go over with me to 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 14. And then we're going to go to 15. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 14. I want you to notice something that I'll just describe to you right now. The plan of redemption that God worked in Christ to redeem us, that plan was based on two spiritual laws. It was based on the law of identification and the law of substitution. Now, let's talk about the law of substitution. The law of substitution means that Jesus stood in for us. In other words, that's why it says he became sin. In fact, let's just read it here. Let's see here. Let's go back to, maybe I'm in the wrong chapter here. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And verse 21. He hath made him, God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Notice he did that for us. For us. He made him to be sin for us. In other words, he became sin. He didn't sin, but he took on our sin. God has laid, Isaiah saw it in chapter number 53, he prophesied, God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so God put all that on him. But that wasn't the limit of what he stood in as our substitute for. He stood in as and became sin with our sin. He stood in and became sick with all our sicknesses. He stood in and became under the authority of Satan when he died and went to hell. Because we were under the authority of Satan. He became everything we were. He became bound. He became tormented in his mind. He became sick in his body. He became poor. The Bible said that we might be rich. Remember that? He became all that we were because he became our substitute. So that we could become all that he was in his righteousness, justification, raising, seeding. You know what I'm talking about? In his victory over sin, victory over all the curse of the law. Now this is really the hub of the gospel right here. I mean, there are spokes that go every direction from this, but this is the hub of the gospel. Amen. If you're going out into the ministry, I mean, this is where the center of everything is. So it's based on two laws, the law of substitution. And the second law is the law of identification. Now, what is the law of identification? The word identification means the same as. It's taken from the root word, the root word in the Greek, I believe, idem. And we get our word identical from it. Identical twins means they look exactly the same. You know what I'm talking about? And whenever we read the Bible, we'll see that we got the same thing he got. The same thing Jesus got in his death, burial, and resurrection, we got. Let's look at it here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 4. Blah, 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 blah. I might have the wrong reference here. I do. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I said 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because that we judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. Circle one for all. Circle one, died for all. Or really, I just circle one and then the circle for all. In other words, one did it for all. So when he died for us, God considered us died. We died. Because he did it for us. He stood in for us. He was our substitute. But God considered us having the same condition. Identically the same condition. He died under our sin, so therefore we died under our sin. Now what do you mean we died? I've never been dead. We're talking about a spiritual death. We paid the penalty for our sin because Christ did it for us. And God said, you did it. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I was crucified with Christ. Paul, you weren't there. You weren't even saved. Paul said, when he got the revelation of in Christ, he said, what Jesus did for me, I was there doing it with him. God saw me as doing it with him, as having the same identical death under my sin. Because it was my sin that was on him. One for all. Say one for all. One for all. That's identification. God identified us with him. This is the in Christ revelation here. So God saw all men. Now go over to the 15th chapter here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. You were in 2 Corinthians, but go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 15. Let's look at verse number... Verse number 22. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Notice, in Adam all. Say, in Adam all. All what? All died. All took on the condition that all mankind is in. Why is it that everywhere you go in the world, you hear the same thing? People are bound, people are sick, people are oppressed, people are, you know, struggling, poverty. Same condition. Because that's Adam talking. In Adam all. Anywhere in the world you go tonight, you can hear Adam talking. Adam's condition, in Adam, all got that condition. We all fell. We all fell from our position. Which, by the way, Adam originally in Genesis 1:26 was given authority over all the earth. And he lost that, and in Adam all. In Adam, all lost that authority. Am I making any sense? All right, so in Adam, all. Say it again, in Adam, all. And so God saw all men in Adam. And but then, look at chapter number, you're in verse, chapter number 15. Look at verse number 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Let's go to verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So what is he talking about when he said the last Adam or the second Adam? He's talking about Jesus, the Lord from heaven. He came down here. See, in Adam all. In Adam all. But then that's not the end of verse 22. He said, so in Christ all. So when we came into Christ, we were born again and came into Christ. All who come into Christ got exactly what that Adam got. Just like we got what Adam got in Adam all. Are you listening to me? So we got, when we came into Christ, in Christ, all who are in Christ, all got what he got. We got Adam's fall in our first Adam, but in our second birth, how'd we get into Adam? By being born physically. How'd we get into Christ? Being born again. In our second birth, we got all that that Adam got. In Adam all. Say it again, in Adam all. I love a story, and my minister that ministered years ago on Christian TV a lot told, his name was E.V. Hill, but Dr. E.V. Hill. If you've never heard Dr. E.V. Hill preach, you ain't heard preaching yet. I believe he was Baptist, but he's full of the Holy Ghost. And he was preaching one time from the sermon called, because he's born in poverty as a child way back in a log cabin somewhere in down south. And he was born into poverty and in a log cabin with nothing. And he got saved and started walking with God, walked out the plan of God, walked into the ministry, which was for him God's plan. And so he's being faithful, and God kept using him. God kept raising him up. And eventually he's visiting presidents and famous people and so forth. And so he had a sermon he was preaching called From the Log Cabin to the White House. That's one of my favorite sermons. And so he was talking about how that whenever he was, became well known, he was invited to the White House. And somebody that he knew worked there and wanted to introduce him to the president. I don't even remember which president it was. But so he's there, and they're going, and this man that is taking him to meet the president, he's going through doors that nobody goes through unless you got a pass to get through it. And he'd walk right past security, and the security, the first man that he's with, the man that invited him to come see the president, he's swiping his card and getting through doors. And then Dr. E.V. Hill's right behind him. He's going through these same doors. And security's always standing there going, and he would always say, I'm with him. I'm with him. And they'd say, and then the man that was giving him the tour said, he turned around and said, yeah, he's with me. He's with me. Hallelujah. How many of you know if you claim him, the Lord will claim you? And so he was getting through doors, and then actually ended up meeting the president, but he's getting through doors that he couldn't have gotten through by himself. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, how did I get to sit at the right hand of the Father positionally as a one in authority? You couldn't have got there by yourself. It's in him. Or as many translations say, in union with him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How'd you get there? How'd you get there? In him. I'm with him. Hallelujah. Say, I'm with him. God sees us as having an identical experience with Christ. Glory to God. Everything that Satan did in the first Adam, Jesus, or let's put it this way, God reversed in the second Adam. Except for physical death, which is the last enemy to be put underfoot. Whenever that's done, we're all back. We're back to where the first Adam actually was before the fall. Praise the Lord. The first Adam got us in a mess, and the second Adam got us out. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. And so what he did was, he said here that he's seeing all men in the first Adam. The way that the spiritual law that got man in this mess, God in his wisdom just said, I'll use that same spiritual law and I'll get everybody out of this mess. What's the law? Substitution and identification. In Adam all, so in Christ all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the first Adam, all were defeated. In the first Adam, all were bound. In the first Adam, all are oppressed. In the first Adam, all have mental torment. In the first Adam, all are sick. In the first Adam, all were sinners. In fact, everything else came in because of sin. In Adam, all. We all sinned. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about tonight, really, to be honest with you, the devil's heyday is over. Now you say, well, I'm sitting down here on the earth tonight. What do you mean seated with Jesus? He's talking about the position in the spirit of the new creation. You in the flesh are nobody like me, but in the spirit, we somebody. We're somebody. Amen. Well, I know all this, Pastor. I want you to have it on a new level. I want you to know it on a new level. God wants you to know it on a new level. Praise God. So if you understand this, you understand the plan of redemption. So what Jesus did for all. Can you see that? When he went to hell, he went there for all. When he took our sin, he did it for all. And when he was ascended up to the right hand of the Father, when he was raised from the dead, he did that for all of us. And he was enthroned for all of us. He wasn't there for himself. He was there for us. He's our stand-in. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Now, we get to walk in the glory of that. The glory which I had with thee before the world began. He said, now I'm back to that, and I'm bringing them all back with me. I'm bringing them all back to that glory. Now, what do you mean glory? I started to say it earlier. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. And we look at that and say, well, the resurrection was the glory of God. Yes, but there's something even more specific. That was a man on the earth acting like God, saying something, and it comes to pass. Huh? Was Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead as God? Not if the Bible's true. Huh? He didn't even claim to be doing the works. He said, the works that I do, it's not me, it's the Father in me doing the works. There's a lot of verses that blow holes through what people teach about Jesus could do all that, but us, we're just peons, you know. We're just... Can you say amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Stop putting up with some stuff. Start learning to be a king that reigns.
Yes.
Start learning to issue edicts and decrees and declare things. Demand some things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, what is Jesus talking about in John 11? He's talking about a man decreeing something and it comes to pass. Praise God. Now, we're not to live. Go to 1 Corinthians 3:3. We're not to live, according to this verse, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. And he said, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3:1, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. He said, for you are yet carnal. So he's talking to a baby church who had not grown up. He said, they're still living in the flesh. Carnal means, they're Christians, all right, but their body and their mind is still dominating them. They still walk and think naturally about everything and walk like other people that aren't born again. And he said in verse number 3, you're yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, now notice, and walk as men. Walk as men. Now there's a strange thing. Writing to men, men and women, writing to men and saying, well, you're acting just like men. You're walking just like men. Paul, what? Other translations say mere men. What's he talking about? We're not to live like we did before we were born again. When Jesus came as the second Adam, he started a new species of human. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying tonight. Not ones under the dominion of Satan, but ones raised above him with the authority of the throne of God and all these forces under their feet. The forces that bind mere men, who Satan is over them, by the way. You hath he quickened, Ephesians 2:1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, not physically, but spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Everybody that's not born again is under the prince of the power of the air. Oh no, I was a good person before I got saved. No, you did some foolish, raunchy, ugly things. Hello. And sometimes people don't want to admit that, but that's the truth. So He said, we're living not as mere men. When Adam died, Jesus came to pick up what Adam lost and get it back and get a new species of human. I'm not trying to be weird when I say that. I'm saying spiritually, we are in a different position. We are different people than we were in sin. We used to be in sin. Now we're in Christ, and in Christ we have new abilities. We have a new nature. Hello? We've got the faith of God. We can speak to things and they will move. Mountains will move. Fevers will leave. Sickness and disease. Well, I just don't know if I can do that. Well, you can. You might not know it, but you can. That's why we're preaching on this. Hallelujah. And so we need to get our mind renewed to the way God does things. If we're seated there with Him, then we need to act like Him. Do things like He does them. Amen. Get our mind to be renewed to think like He thinks. Be transformed into His image. We're not to live like mere men that don't have this authority. In other words, just working things out only with the ability of the natural man, the natural mind, and what any person can do. We operate in a authority that other men have no access to. I'm talking about people that aren't born again. We operate in an authority where we bring spiritual forces to bear by decreeing things. That's the way we're supposed to live. Amen. In the first Adam, man lost that. In the second Adam, God got all that back. Everybody that's in the second Adam, they got that back. Now they have authority again. It's called the authority of the believer. Amen. So, isn't that strange? Paul would say, don't walk as men. He's talking about as mere humans. How many of you know we're from another place? I know that sounds strange, but I'll just tell you what I'm talking about. To a lot of Christians today, they're on their way to heaven. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way to heaven. And thank God we're going to go to heaven. Anybody else going to go to heaven with me? When the time comes, we're going to heaven. But they have not ever had even the thought of what the Bible said. That we're already from heaven. We're from, Jesus said, we're born from above. In other words, that's our homeland. That's our citizenship. That's where we're from. We're from another place. We're not just going to heaven, we're from heaven. We're born from above. Amen. And that makes us a different variety of human being. One who's in dominion now. We used to be under dominion of Satan, now we're in dominion. So we're not supposed to operate like the world. When the world just works it out and puts their fingers to the grindstone, or breaks their back to get something to happen, we operate more like Adam operated back in the garden. Not just by the sweat of our brow, but the command of our faith. The command of our faith. Woo, glory be to God. The command of our faith. He was in dominion and he could call things. He could speak to things. Praise the Lord. And so, can you see why it's not really been revealed to a lot of people who they really are? Doesn't mean they're not, but it's not been revealed who they are. So, that's why they're conformed to the world. Their life looks no different than the world. But we're to be transformed. Transformed. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, what does the transformed life look like? You want to answer? You want to hear an answer? What does it look like? Read the four Gospels. It looked just like Jesus. Whenever the water started filling the boat, did he say, give me a bucket, I'll help you bail? See, people are locked into just natural things. When it comes to their body, it's all about natural things. If I eat right, well, I believe in eating right. I probably eat as good and better than anybody in the church. I'm not trying to compare. I'm just simply saying, I practice that. I endeavor to eat right. I mean, except whenever we celebrate somebody's birthday, then I eat ice cream and cake. But I'm not religious about it, but I eat good. But my faith is not in Natural things. Amen. Same way all across the spectrum of my life. So, praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise God, praise God. Now, really, the devil won't tell you what I'm telling you tonight. The natural world won't tell you. Psychology won't tell you. Religion won't tell you. The college and the university won't tell you. The hospitals won't tell you. The investment advisors won't tell you this. Most of them. Amen. But, and I'm not against natural investing. I'm not against, you know, going to the hospital if you have to. I'm not against anything like that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just simply saying the enemy of our soul hides this revelation. And, but here at Spirit of Faith, we're committed to preaching this. We're committed to helping people rise up to their rightful place and walk like Jesus walked in dominion. Walk like Jesus. Well, they tried to kill him before he laid his life down, and they couldn't take him. We're untouchable ones if we'll walk in this. This will keep us free from accidents, death, destruction, torment of mind. Praise the Lord. Poverty. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. There's a verse, and we'll wrap this up with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14 in the Amplified. It says, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory." Trophies of Christ's victory. Say that out loud. I am a trophy of Christ's victory. Now, what does that mean? I mean, if we get up a, let's say in the city somewhere this year, I don't know, whatever, a bunch of churches or in the city here, there's a baseball league that comes and decides, let's all get some, everybody, let's say churches do it. A bunch of churches get together and say, anybody wants to be a part of our league, you know, you can put together a team out of your church and we're going to all compete and spend every Friday night or whatever, you know, counting down to who the best team is. And let's say we get a team together. And let's say Matt Slaymaker here, he's the captain of the team. I don't know if he wants to be, but we just made him the captain of the team. And so he's going to train us. He's going to get everybody in the right positions. You're good at this, you're good at that, and you're a good hitter, so this, you know, and he'll do all that and put us all together. And let's say we go all the way, because if we're going to do it, how many of you know Spirit of Faithers, we're going to win, right? We're going all the way. And so let's say we take it, man. We take it. We take it. We go all the way. And the last game, we whoop them. And they give us the trophy, right? What does that trophy mean? When we hold that up, that means we won. Oh, wait. What, huh? Who won? No, Matt Slaymaker won. Huh? We all did? We're trophies of Christ's victory. When he won us, he holds us up everywhere and say, we won. Not just him, we all won. We all won. Glory. Now, we know he did it for us, but we won when he won. We are in Christ. We're identified with Christ. You following me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. A trophy says we won. So, really, as we read here, in fact, there's another verse I read there. That was 2 Corinthians 2:14. We are. He leads us in as trophies of Christ's victory. Listen to this verse in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 10 in the Amplified. The purpose is, through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God. That's the plan of redemption. I don't have time to get into all that, but that's the plan of redemption. In all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might be now be made known to the angelic rulers, authorities, principalities, and powers in the heavenly sphere. He's saying the purpose of redemption was that he make known through the church to these forces of darkness that he won. That's what he said there. Make known to these forces of darkness, these angelic rulers and authorities. He's talking about the principalities and powers that are arrayed against us. Ephesians 6 talks about those same forces. And he's saying that the purpose of redemption is that he could make known through us to these forces of darkness that we want, that Jesus won. And we won. Because every time we win, every time we overcome darkness, the poverty, the curse, you know, oppression, the sins, temptation that comes to us. Every time we win, it's like Jesus pushing the play on the rerun of the resurrection and the ascension and the seating where Jesus whooped the devil and stole the keys. Or didn't steal them, just got them out of his hand. They were really ours and gave them back to us. All authority is given unto me. You go. He gave us the keys. And so he's telling us that whenever we stand our ground and win when the enemy opposes us, that's Jesus holding the trophy in Satan's face and going, yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah. Don't you want to bring him glory? Hallelujah. God uses us to show the devil that he won. Praise God. So every time we win and every time we stand our ground, that's God pushing play, and he has to watch it all over again. He has to be reminded of every detail of his defeat. I've determined in my life to not just run reruns now and then, just have it on continuous loop. That's what I've determined. You're going to watch this again today. You're going to watch this again. You brought a wrong thought to me, and I cast it down. It's on loop, man. Continuous loop. Hallelujah. 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 I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil won't tell you that Jesus won. You'll have to tell him. Every time you're winning, that you win, and you stand your ground, and you hold up the trophy, you're telling him Jesus won. Jesus won. Jesus defeated you. You are spoiled. You are stripped. You are nothing. You've been reduced to nothing, and you're passing away. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Just make your whole life a victory. Just one pageant of victory after victory after victory after victory. Victory, we always triumph. Notice, not just now and then, always triumph. Always triumph. How many of you know whenever there's an enticement to sin and you reject it, you just triumphed. And you just push play on the rerun that Satan's got to watch again of the defeat that he experienced when Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Whenever you overcome death, whenever you say in the name of Jesus and an accident is averted, he's down in hell going, ah! You keep holding that trophy up, reminding me that I was whooped. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. And some of us aren't satisfied with just living in success. We got to spread it around, tell everybody else. Why don't you do that? Just spread it around. Man, when you get a testimony, go into work the next day. Oh, man, you got to know what happened to me, man. Really? Wow. Man, with you, it just seems like if it's not one thing, it's another. I mean, everything. God's just working in your life. Yeah. I'm a trophy of his victory.